Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Celebration of a shul, of a synagogue that is 180 years old. If anything brings peace, that is what does it. Rabbi Osher Feldman, leader of the Rabbi at the Garden Shul. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. Baruch Hashem, thank God. And we are literally on a high after the very special celebration yesterday.
It is incredible. 180 years. For sure, the oldest synagogue in South Africa?
The oldest synagogue in South Africa. It was founded in 1841 when Benjamin Norden, he lived in a building called Helmsley Place, which today forms part of the iconic Mount Nelson Hotel. 17 men gathered for that first minyan. And then they converted a house, actually next door to Parliament. Next time any of your listeners are in Cape Town and you drive past Parliament, the corner building, which is a police station, if you look on the, there's a blue plaque, which says this is the site of the first house that became a minyan. And then in 1863, they built the first custom-built synagogue in sub-Saharan Africa, which is now next door to our main great synagogue, the beautiful old shul that we call it. Mm. And then, of course, in 1905, the great synagogue was built.
Absolutely. Really, really just beautiful, because that whole complex is just something to see.
Yeah, really. It's, you know what's so special? This is, where the community started, and it's sort of come full circle. Mm. And today the community, this is a center, the heartbeat, so vibrant, so alive. And we love welcoming people from all around South Africa, and indeed from all throughout the world, who learn about our history and learn about South Africa's, Jewish South Africans' contribution to the building of our society and this rainbow nation.
So what's interesting to me is around the world, there were a lot of regulations and difficulties with building shuls during that period. Did we have those types of challenges here in South Africa?
You know, what was so incredible about, think about this, you're talking 1863, and the old shul, the first custom-built shul, was built in a very prominent position in the city. And to think about the space that the Jewish community held at that time, and even in 1905, that the old shul, the great synagogue was consecrated, and if I remember correctly, it was opened by the governor of the Cape at that time, which really demonstrates and expresses the position that the Jewish community in South Africa had within the wider context of the community. And, you know, what's also so unique, and think about this, I mean, our shul has had 180 years of continuous services. So there may be other shuls around the world that may be older, but number one, our shul, South Africa, and when I say the Garden Shul is the mother synagogue, reflects all the South African Jewish community. There was a minyan through the First World War, through the Second World War. There was a continuous service, and even today, it's not just a historic building, but an active congregation. So there's something that the entire South African community can be so proud of.
Because it's quite unusual, isn't it? Because we have this all around the world where you have Jews in a community that build a beautiful shul, but then they start to move out. We look at our own Walmeren Street shul here in Johannesburg. It's very, very common that these beautiful shuls, unfortunately, get left behind when the community moves on. This, the Garden Shul, has been very unique in that way, and that still becomes, in that it's still a very, very active part of the Cape Town community and certainly South African community.
And I think a big part of that also is the sense of connection that South Africans have to their tradition. So in addition to the local community, we often host bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, weddings from families around, South African families, expats around the world who come back to their roots to celebrate these milestones and to continue the link of generations.
Yeah. It is interesting, because whenever I go there and wherever we at that center, the one thing I do notice is that there are people, no matter where people are coming from. They're always coming, they're going to circulate through there, through that center. And they're going to be going into the shul and looking at the museum there, because it's all there. And there's the Holocaust section. I mean, there's so many parts to what this brings that it really is very, very unique.
And I just want to say also, because of this, we have decided that we've commissioned actually 6 beautiful art pieces from the Garden Shul reflecting our history. And as part of the Chai 180 future proofing campaign that we're doing now over the next 2 days, we're actually gifting these art pieces that people can have a piece of South African Jewish history in their homes. So for example, we have a picture from the consecration of the shul, the Great Synagogue, in 1905, with the rabbis, the clergy, the leaders holding the Torah in their canonicals, top hats on the front steps of the shul. We have stained glass windows pictures. We actually managed to get from the UCT archives original architectural drawings from 1905, beautiful, colorful art pieces.
Incredible.
And we're actually gifting those. So if any of your listeners are interested in that, maybe I can give you the link, or you can post it. And
just give us the link if you have it.
We're sending these pieces all around the world. I mean, people are very excited about it.
How do you, in fact, towards the end of the interview, I'll just ask you that for the link again. How do you manage in terms of the regular day to day? Because with all of this, on a Shabbat, it must be quite difficult because there aren't, I don't think, a lot of younger people or people living within walking distance of the shul. How do you manage then?
So it's interesting. I mean, our membership database draws from all throughout Cape Town because of the history. And so we have members from the City Bowl, but also all throughout Cape Town. And it's one of our challenges. And we come up with various programs to keep the community together, despite the difficulties. I mean, we as Jewish people, we're never scared of challenges. You know, and we do what we can to engage the youngsters. In fact, yesterday we launched a project for the 180th Into the Future, a project called the Bima, which is an online community platform which will support bricks and mortar, you know, the bricks and mortar shul, but in a sense giving people the community in their pockets. I'll just give you one or two examples. Mm. You know, think of it sort of like Facebook, but a Jewish Facebook. So it'll notify you on your Hebrew birthday, on your yard site. You don't just connect with your Bima buddies, is what we're calling friends, but families as well. You create circles of families around both locally and abroad. You're going to be able to list your business as well, so people can, you know, see, support local community within the community. All these sorts of functions to keep the community together. But the catch is that you actually have to belong to the synagogue to be a part of this platform. And in this way, you know, while some people may only join the synagogue, maybe they'll come once a week or once a month or even once a year, but they can be connected every single day with the community in their pockets and hopefully encourage them to attend the synagogue more, because that is really the heartbeat. We've seen this over COVID. No matter how much we connect virtually or online, you know, people want that face-to-face interaction when it comes to their sense of belonging and community. And we're finding that the youngsters, we're doing a lot of brainstorming in this area. The youngsters are really connecting to this. I mean, we're doing more bat mitzvahs, more weddings in our shul today than we've done in decades. You know, I mean, last Shabbat, 2 bat mitzvahs. You know, every single week bat mitzvahs, weddings. I mean, our membership database is growing, thank God. And I think a big part is people want to connect to that history, to the tradition, and it's such a beautiful space. So I think that we as a community need to brainstorm together. You know, it's not just about our shul, it's about all the shuls, and it's about all the communal organizations.
Yeah, finding
relevance. Mm. We're holding on to the past, but we need to grapple with the future and do what we can to engage the youngsters. So Howard, your question is really at the heart of the questions we are all asking ourselves now, and it's challenging. And COVID's made it challenging, and there's no doubt about it. But we're resilient. And we've never been scared of a challenge. And human beings have shown throughout history that we come up with solutions if we put our minds to it. And we have, you know, we have God on our side, you know. God wants us to do good things. So we just do our best and we leave it up to Hashem to do the rest. So,
absolutely.
We just gotta, and I think coming back to how you started this, when we are united, when we are together as a community, you know, we showed a 30-minute video of the 180 on the Zoom yesterday, and one of the questions they asked me was, how do I see the future of the 180, you know, as we go forward now? And I quoted from Hans Rosling, you know, in his book Factfulness. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a great book
of
positive about the future.
Yeah.
He says, I'm not an optimist, I'm not a pessimist, I'm a possibilist. And that's how I love to see it. The possibilities are endless, infinite, you know, and if we work together, we can create those possibilities for a vibrant future.
Absolutely. And that is where we leave it. All the luck for the next 180 years. That is.
And Howard, please visit us again.
I certainly will do that. Rabbi Asher Feldman, leader of the Gardens Shul.